If you want to follow it in the Bible, it's page 122 in the New Testament section. It's in Acts chapter 8, and it begins at verse 26. Before this reading, I'll tell you that Philip was in Samaria proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer. So he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Well, good morning, saints. It's strange to be the one saying that. It's usually my husband Steve is offering that greeting before he preaches. Our older two children were very confused when they heard that I was preaching this morning while Steve looks after our youngest one. And it's a little odd for me to be on this side of the church. For the past few years, I've been taking a break from studying theology and working in churches to be at home with our three kids. But it's a privilege to share the Word of God with you this morning. And I'm really excited to preach on this passage, as it's my favorite story in the Bible. I also have good news to share with you, that I am much shorter than Steve, both in my height and in my length of preaching. As a church, as Mike said, we're spending the next few weeks thinking about mission and the five marks of mission in the Anglican Communion. And our first mark this week is to tell, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Our story today is all about the good news of Jesus, and we see how the Spirit uses us to share that. So let's pray together as we start. Lord Jesus, please open our hearts today to hear your good news, to see where you call us to follow you, and to have the boldness to go. Amen. Would you go to the desert? Imagine for a moment that you are Philip, and one day you receive this peculiar command from an angel: go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip is not told anything else besides this. He does not exactly have a lot to go on, but still, he rises and he sets off. Would you have gone? One of our amazing students, Jess White, painted this picture of the story for us. And I asked her if she could create a painting for us today so we could better imagine the scene and enter into it. I think that if I had received that angelic message, I probably would have been slightly hesitant to fling a bag over my shoulder and trek out into that barren place. But Philip did. And in this journey, we catch a glimpse of what the good news of Jesus is all about. At the center of our Bible reading today is verse 35, where Philip opens his mouth and he shares with the Ethiopian eunuch the good news about Jesus. As we think as a church for the next few weeks about mission, this morning we'll look at this story closely together to begin imagining what mission might mean. It seems sometimes we need stories to wrap our minds around really big concepts like mission. Jesus himself told plenty of stories as he was preaching the good news of the kingdom. So we're offered in this chapter of Acts one of the most compelling stories of what the good news of Jesus is and how we go about sharing it. So we see, first of all, the good news of Jesus is that Jesus loves and goes after each person individually. Our story begins with Philip, who was one of the Greek-speaking leaders of the Jerusalem church, and he was one of the first to preach outside of Jerusalem. After a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, Philip took the bold step of going to Samaria, the region just north of Judea, where Jesus had said his followers were to be witnesses next. So if you look on the map, if you look at the top of the Dead Sea and go over a little bit, that's Jerusalem, and just north of it is Samaria. So he's up in the north above Jerusalem preaching. Although Samaria, as you see, is really close to Judea, it's geographically close, and the Samaritans were actually distant cousins of the Jews. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other, and so Philip was crossing this massive cultural divide when he went there to preach. In the city of Samaria, enormous crowds came to hear him, and many believed in Jesus. In chapter 8, verse 8, we hear that there is great joy in that city where Philip went. So in the midst of this unprecedented event of Samaritan people coming to faith in Jesus, the angel of the Lord appears and tells Philip to head southward to the desert. So Jerusalem's at the top of the Dead Sea, and the road from Jerusalem to Gaza is, if you follow the map, to the southwest. That's where you're going, and Gaza's that little dot on the end of the map. So this is peculiar for a number of reasons. The first reason is that Philip is doing an amazing work right where he is, and he's paved the way for a huge step in the early church's growth and their identity. So it would be easy to think that Philip should stay right where he is and carry on. The second reason this command is peculiar is that Philip is not told much else about what's happening. All he's told is to rise up and go to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza without any reason why. But Philip must have been one closely tuned into the Spirit to so quickly leave the work he was doing and head out into the sheer unknown. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis's story, The Horse and His Boy, in which the main character performs one really challenging task, only to be immediately set off on a seemingly impossible mission. Lewis says that if you do one good deed, your reward is usually to be set to do another and harder and better one. We do not know exactly where Philip was when he obediently rose up and left, but most likely, if he was somewhere north of Jerusalem in Samaria, it would have taken Philip around 3 days to get from where he was to the stretch of desert road. So 3 days! Can you imagine striking out into the desert for 3 days, having no idea? But in this craziness of Philip's journey, we catch a glimpse of the love of Jesus, that God would take Philip from his thriving work with the crowds in Samaria and send him out into the desert for 3 days, just to encounter one foreign man. Philip is following Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who leaves his 99 sheep behind and goes after that one lost lamb. This is really good news. This is really crazy good news that this is the kind of God we have. Your best friend, your spouse, your mother, your brother, your neighbor, all these are people Jesus died to save. And he's after them on an individual basis, for each one of them, he's hatching this seemingly impossible plan to go after them and rescue them. So we see how, in God directs Philip to the desert, another essential aspect of the good news of Jesus, that God is the one in charge of the story. We sometimes think about evangelism, and we get confused, and we think that evangelism is our work, that's what we do. But really, it's the work of God who chooses to use us. In this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and all throughout the book of Acts, it is God who's the one who's driving everything along. Acts is essentially not about the church, but rather what God does through the church. And what God does is unexpected and strange and wild sometimes. One theologian, Luke Timothy Johnson, says that in the book of Acts, the Christian missionaries are constantly trying to keep up with what God is doing. Philip was attempting to do just this when he encounters a chariot, and in it, one of the most far-flung and exotic foreigners imaginable. It is an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of her royal treasury. This was a turn of events Philip must not have seen coming. So it was not just any stranger Philip met, but one of the strangest strangers possible. To the ancient world, Ethiopia was quite literally the ends of the earth. One Greek writer called the Ethiopians the last of men. Ancient Greeks and Romans were somewhat in awe of the Ethiopian nation, and they thought of them as being noble and pious and physically beautiful. And this particular Egyptian was especially intriguing, as he was a high-ranking eunuch. So today we do not have the same class of men as eunuchs in our culture, but they were a firmly established part of the ancient world. Eunuchs were castrated men, often castrated before puberty, usually for the purpose of serving royalty. So they were civil servants of the highest order, working in the courts of kings and queens. Eunuchs had a strange place in society, however, because on the one hand, they were respected for this high place they held with kings and queens, but they were also looked down upon for how they did not fit into any established gender identity. So this Ethiopian is a man who's really strange when Philip meets him, someone who's really intriguing and unlike anyone Philip could have encountered before. The Ethiopian's eunuch, his identity as a foreign eunuch, reflects another aspect of the good news of Jesus, is that Jesus draws all kinds of people to himself. Philip had taken this bold step of preaching outside of Judea and going to Samaria, and now the Spirit is sending him to speak of Jesus to someone from literally the ends of the earth at the time, someone who is unlike anyone Philip had encountered before. But these are just the kinds of people God is constantly calling to himself. When we think about sharing the gospel with non-Christians, it's important to remember that Jesus has been seeking them long before we ever come into the scene. And we see this vividly with the Ethiopian eunuch. Luke tells us the Ethiopian eunuch had come to worship in Jerusalem, and this is strange, it's not really clear why. The eunuch might have been a convert to Judaism, or he might have been what was called a God-fearer, who is someone who is not Jewish, but who worshiped the gods of the God of the Jews. He had made a massive pilgrimage to go from the capital of Ethiopia to Jerusalem. It was around 1,400 miles, and in a chariot, it would have taken him roughly 46 to 56 days each part of the journey. So when he came to Jerusalem then, he would have actually been unable to enter the temple on account of him being an outsider and also being a eunuch who was marred in form. So his months-long pilgrimage could actually only lead him to the outer courts of the temple. The only explanation for why this Ethiopian man would go to all this trouble is that God was drawing him near. And yet, the way God works in evangelism is often unexpected. God chose to wait until the eunuch was heading home in the desert to send Philip to him. God had willed in specific terms that the eunuch would hear of Jesus not in Jerusalem, where, despite the persecution, there are still plenty of Christians about, but he would hear through Philip, who was brought to him from afar. So we see then another startling aspect of the good news of Jesus. God chooses to use us to share that good news. The eunuch was reading the part of Isaiah where the prophet foretold the suffering of the Messiah when Philip arrives. Philip is told by the Spirit to go alongside the chariot. And if you read this story, you can almost hear Philip panting as he runs up to join it. And then suddenly, when he hears the eunuch reading Isaiah aloud, it makes sense why God has sent him there. Philip offers to explain this prophet's words, and the Ethiopian man invites him up. So here now, the eunuch, Philip, and the eunuch's chariot driver are all bouncing along across this dusty desert road in the eunuch's chariot. But really, it is God who is behind the wheel. Philip steps into what God had already been doing, starting hundreds of years before this moment, when Isaiah was given his prophetic vision of a Messiah who would suffer and die. And so Philip, knowing his Savior and his scriptures well, started from there to tell the eunuch the rest of the story. Philip made the connections between scripture and the eunuch's own story. He explained the suffering one in Isaiah was Jesus, who died for all and rose again. We're reminded in Philip's explanation just how important it is for us to know scripture, to know our Bible well so we can share our faith. The work of evangelism is all the Lord's, yet we still have a part to play in knowing what our faith is about and studying the Word of God, and then making those connections between that and those people we meet. Philip knew his scriptures well and how they were speaking to that eunuch that day. Had they kept on reading from this part of Isaiah on the scroll that he had, and I imagine they would have come a couple of chapters later to this glorious prophecy, which is in Isaiah 56. Isaiah says, "Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let not any eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree.' For this is what the Lord says, 'To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose to do what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off.'" Somewhere along this chariot-driven Bible study, they came to water, and by then the eunuch had come to faith, and he asked to be baptized. And so this prophecy that foreign eunuchs would be part of the Lord's covenant people, that they would have a name that can never be cut off, came true before Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch's eyes. He was baptized, and he was made part of the everlasting people of God. And as soon as he was, Philip's work was done there. Philip was suddenly whisked away out of the water, disappeared, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, Philip's miraculous transportation from the desert to a place miles to the north is pretty insane, but the way Luke tells the story, it's actually just a side note in the whole story. The greater miracle is that the eunuch had come to faith, and the story ends with him going off rejoicing. There is a desert between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Their nations, their cultures, their classes, their religions, their geography, and everything, Philip and the eunuch were a desert apart. And yet, God sent Philip across that desert. It often feels like there's a desert between where we are and where the people are whom Jesus is calling to himself. Even when it comes to our unbelieving family and friends, the people who are most like us, there's often a desert that stretches between how we think and believe and how they do. But deserts are never any barrier to God. Philip, sent by God, crossed that desert. He set out knowing that Jesus was up to something, and his job was only to follow. Will you do the same? Will you get running? Will you get a little breathless like Philip? And will you go out into the deserts? You might just be surprised at what God will do there when you do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we so go. Amen.